noticed them. It seemed as if there had always been cops in the hallways for as long as she could remember. She looked into McPherson's office. He was sitting behind his desk, head on his shoulder, sleeping. His breath came in short, ragged gasps. It sounded as if he were having nightmares. She closed the door quietly. An orderly walked past her, carrying filled ashtrays and empty coffee cups. It was strange to see an orderly doing cleaning duties. The sight triggered a thought in her mind. Something unusual, some question she couldn't quite formulate. It nagged at her mind, but she finally gave up on it. She was tired. She couldn't think clearly. She came to one of the treatment rooms and saw that it was empty. She went in, closed the door, and lay down on the examination couch. She was almost instantly asleep. Chapter 15. In the lounge, Ellis watched himself on the 11 o'clock news. It was partly vanity and partly morbid curiosity that made him do it. Gerhard was also there, and Richards, and the cop, Anders. On the screen, Ellis squinted slightly into the camera as he answered the questions of a group of reporters. Microphones were jammed up toward his face, but he seemed to himself calm. That pleased him, and he found his answers reasonable. The reporters asked him about the operation, and he explained it briefly but clearly. Then one asked, "Why was this operation done?" "The patient," Ellis answered, "suffers from intermittent attacks of violent behavior. He has organic brain disease. His brain is damaged. We are trying to fix that. We are trying to prevent violence." No one could argue with that, he thought. Even McPherson would be pleased with it as a polite answer.
"Is that common, brain damage associated with violence?"
"We don't know how common it is," Ellis said. "We don't even know how common brain damage alone is. But our best estimates are that 10 million Americans have obvious brain damage, and 5 million more have subtle brain damage."
15 million? One reporter said. "That's one person in 13.
Pretty quick, Ellis thought. He'd figured it out later as 1 in 14.
"Something like that," he replied on the screen.
"There are 2.5 million people with cerebral palsy. There are 2 million with convulsive disorders, including ADL. There are 6 million with mental retardation. There are probably 2.5 million with hyperkinetic behavior disorders."
"And all of these people are violent?"
"No, certainly not. Most are perfectly peaceable. But if you check violent people, you will find an unusually high proportion have brain damage. Physical brain damage. And we believe physical brain damage is very often the cause of violence. That contradicts a lot of theories about poverty and discrimination and social injustice. Of course, those social factors may contribute to violence, but physical brain damage is also a major factor. And you can't correct physical brain damage with social remedies." There was a pause in the reporter's questions. Ellis remembered the pause, and remembered being elated by it. He was winning. He was running the show.
"When you say violence,"